You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. The podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Hey, Jay, we got the whole nation blanketed today, covered. Key's in L.A., Jay's in Chicago, I'm in New York, holding you down. Jay, you got to be feeling like, first of all, I know you didn't sleep very much last night. Not only...
Zero, Max.
Were Jay's dookies in the Sweet 16, but... Jay has maybe a little issue putting his money where his mouth is when it comes to gambling, shall we say, on his team's
I read
success.
The disclaimers every day, Max. I just want you to know that.
Yeah.
Those long disclaimers, I recognize it.
So
yeah.
As it went down, Jay, what was it like, man? You saw your guys in a tough one, could have gone either way. Then down the stretch, your guy Roach comes through. What's that like for you as you see it go down? Could be Coach K's last game.
Well, I don't like when people put out negative energy about, Coach K's last game. I'm like, no, Evan did it yesterday. He said, I'm like, don't say that. That's not going to happen. Like, don't try to ruin my positive feelings that we have into the universe right now about this. And for me, just look, this team has grown up. They don't win these two last games, guys, 7 games ago. They're a team that doesn't get to the second weekend 7 games ago. Like, this is now a team that I'm starting to trust down the stretch with making the plays. And also, like, look, I'll tell you, like, versus North Carolina, that was a huge event. But seeing, like, the lack of adjustments that we didn't make during North Carolina, but then seeing those adjustments that we did make in the second half against Texas Tech, going to a zone, knowing that they shoot 30% from the three-point line, switching it back up to man-to-man later in the game, keeping them off their comfort level is what makes me believe that this team can actually win it. And that's the first time I've said that about this team the whole year. Never thought they could win it. I actually believe they can win it now.
You actually should believe in it because you know the guy who's running it. That's why you should believe in it, because of the head coach. No matter what the situation is, he's been in this position before, Jay. And he knows how to make those adjustments and do certain things that gives his team the edge.
Key, I'm a realist, man, and I always believe in Coach K, but some things he can't make happen. Like, there's some teams that we've had where you're like, as much as he's a great coach, and he's been the first one to always say this, I could be a great coach, but if I don't have players, if I don't have dudes, then, like, there's only so much you can do.
But you know, right? They had, like, dudes, so it just took a minute.
Key, yeah, keep in mind, this is a man that Jay Will almost fought once, you know? So, like, I don't know, there's still hard feelings with you and Coach K, or is that over, Jay?
No, man, like, I love my coach. I'll be the first one to tell you about that. I mean, look, and sometimes when you love, you fight. Like, that's what happens when you love. Like,
and that's what you were talking about, Jay. You were saying there wasn't enough fight, really, in this team. But later on, like, you need a gritty kind of gritty guard play in the tournament. You needed to see more Dog and Paolo Banchero, right? But then you told us about what? Your development as a point guard. Could you take us through that again real quick, just because I think it applies to what's happening with this team?
So, Max, very quickly, look at Eric Spoelstra and Jimmy Butler the other night. It was a legit fight. That happens when you got passionate dudes. But as it relates to being a point guard for Jeremy Roach, I keep harping on this because it's so big. You spend so much of your rookie year, your freshman year, trying to understand what everybody needs to be. Max, equivalent to this is like you hosting. Like when you start hosting, you're like, man, I got the rundown. I got the producer talking to me. I got to get Key in. I got to get Jay in. I have my point. Like, how do you balance it all? Then you get to a certain point where you're like,
incredible,
oh,
what I do.
Yes. I got it. Like, it's easy. Like, it doesn't become robotic. It becomes rhythm-like. And that's what happened to Jeremy Roach. He's not thinking now. He's just reacting because he knows what he's responsible for. And I think that development is the reason why Duke is where they're at right now.
You even heard... What was it, Banchero, when Coach K was like, it was from instinct? So, like, when you have to think the game, then that slows you up, right? When it's muscle memory, you can just play. And that's what certainly Roach looks like. He's doing that right now, but Banchero too. Guys, meantime, Duke will not play Gonzaga. That was the big marquee matchup, right? But it will not happen because, once again, Gonzaga, favored, gets bounced from the tournament. Here is head coach Mark Few on his thoughts about what went wrong after their loss.
Just tough to get any rhythm against. I don't think we never really got any sort of rhythm, either in the first or the second half. And to me, that was the difference in the game. I felt like we had stretches where we guarded them pretty good. We just couldn't get any rhythm on our offensive end, which is rare for us.
Other than Arkansas, who played well, Key, what do you think went wrong? Gonzaga.
Sound like a cut and paste from a couple interviews of a couple years ago.
So what went wrong? Okay, fine. They don't always win the national title or ever win the national title. But what went wrong?
Oh, God. I just think that they were outplayed and hustled by Arkansas. Arkansas came to play. Look, there is something to be said when you play in a Power 5 conference in sports because you are challenged day in and night, week in and week out, month to month. You are challenged. And I think in this situation, I don't think Gonzaga is ever really challenged. I think when you look at them historically, yes, they win a lot of games. There's no question about it in the regular season. They win their conference. They always get the number one seed. The one plays the 16th. The two plays the 15th. They never are challenged by powerful teams. And when they run up against that, they tend to struggle. I just strongly believe
Jay,
that.
Jay, on the other hand, Gonzaga. So, well, okay, wait. Is that a problem with Gonzaga or the committee?
It's not a problem with the committee. I mean, and look, to your point, like this Gonzaga team, they played Texas. They played UCLA. But they played Duke earlier in the season. They played Alabama. Like, they played Texas Tech. Like, they really went out of their way non-conference. I think what happens, though, is when they play non-conference games against tough opponents, that's earlier in the season.
I was about to say that, Jay.
Then they go to the West Coast Conference. Like, you get a whole bunch of games where you're playing against teams that you just beat up on. So, I agree with your point, Key. You're not as battle-tested consistently as you should be.
And if the problem, Max, when you ask Jay the question, Gonzaga or the committee, it's the committee because you keep putting them at the one seed. Like, I don't – put them somewhere else. I understand their record and stuff like that gives them the ability to be put there, but it's almost like Notre Dame in football with Brian Kelly. Like, I don't want to see that.
Yeah, you might not be doing them a favor in the long run by putting them
one.
No,
I don't want to see that. I don't want to keep seeing that. And every time I look up, they're getting bounced.
So, Key, you have an issue with them giving the benefit of the doubt to a Gonzaga team that has never won a title. Like when Duke has a down year, but they're still the best team in the ACC, like this year, they're still on the two line. Like, if they had won the ACC tournament, there was a chance Duke got to the one line. That's benefit of the doubt the committee gives a team like Duke, like
yes.
Kansas. You don't think that the committee should continue to give the benefit of the doubt to a school like Gonzaga until they win a title? Is that what you're saying?
Till they win a title, because they're going to run through the conference every single year. And, yes, early on they're going to play a non-conference schedule that may have some tougher opponents, but in the middle to the end of the year, they're playing cupcakes.
Can I just say
– tomato cans in boxing, Max.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And a lot of times when you think you want the easier road, it turns into the harder road because, as you said, you're not battle-tested, right? Like, I get it. I think that makes – what you're saying is rational to me.
Man, you can look at them dudes from Arkansas – and you can see the grind and grit on them.
Man, almost cursed. Yeah. But, okay, so, like, by the way, if St. Peter's was a little bigger and more athletic, they'd be, you know, all of a sudden it's like, uh-oh, right? Because they had to trial by fire. But, Key, what Mark Few has done there, he took it from nothing to suddenly they're in the tournament.
Yay.
Then, over time, they're starting to win in the tournament. Then in the last – we talked about this earlier because, one, we didn't have a tournament a couple years ago. In the last four tournaments, they've been in the Final Four twice. That is moving in the right direction. It's what you always preach about quarterbacks, what you want to see. They're moving that way.
But think about it, though, Max. When you are getting a high seed versus these low seeds – and then these low seeds clip somebody at a high seed and you match back up with a low seed, you're going to wind up being in the Elite Eight, the Final Four. It just it happens. And Jay can speak to that because he knows how it's set up.
Yeah, but guys, I'm okay with them being a number one seed. I mean, they beat teams in their non-conference, and due to the style in which they play, like, that was warranting of a number one seed, in my opinion. I didn't think Duke deserved the number two seed. I thought that was more so Tennessee because of the strength of the conference of the SEC. I thought Duke was more in the three line. But, like, I can't not give them a number one seed if they do play teams from their non-conference that are quality opponents that are ranked top 10 in the country like Gonzaga did do. And I can't diminish or devalue their schedule just because they beat up on teams in the West Coast Conference. They're winning the games that are in front of them that they're supposed to.
Okay, so when you going to stop and not give them the benefit of the doubt?
It's not my job. They keep losing.
You know,
like, it's not like they're being rewarded with the number one seed. They haven't won.
Also, one and what done, man. Won? One and done is so tough.
So why change it?
Like, I get they didn't get to the Final Four this year, but even if you get bounced in the Sweet 16, man, that's something. You have to win a couple games. I hear about the seeding, too, for sure. But
see,
it's
Max,
something.
Every year, right, you get, and I ain't picking on you, Jay, but you get the NBA analysts, college basketball experts like Jay Will. Gonzaga's turn. It's Gonzaga. You get the Seth Greenbergs. It's Gonzaga. You get the Jay Billises. It's Gonzaga, 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 Gonzaga. And then we don't even get to talk about Gonzaga past yesterday.
Put it this way. Let's compare them to the Cowboys because
same thing.
Right, but the Cowboys have less success in the playoffs. Like Gonzaga is better than the Cowboys. Not only do they have a high seed and they get some fanfare in the press, but then they actually win something once the tournament starts.
Yeah, but again, they're being put in position to win these games in the tournament because they get a higher seed and they're playing the lower seeds.
Okay, we're starting to retrace ground. I cannot argue with that opinion because that's a fact. I don't think of Mark Few as an elite. Like Gonzaga as elite, I think of them as a powerhouse. Like I was a Knicks fan in the 90s. They were a powerhouse, but they never won a championship. You know what I mean? It's one of those deals.
If you're making the argument that because they get a higher seed is why their win totals are more, but it's counterproductive because they don't win, Key. So if we're making an argument, oh, they get a higher seed and then they've won because they have a higher seed, like, okay, but they're
winning anything. But the thing is they say they win in the tournament. That's the argument. They win in the tournament. Well, and my point to that, Jay, is yes, they win in the tournament because they're playing lower seed teams that they're better than.
Now we're all chasing our tails. We need to get a fresh voice in here. Monica McNutt, ESPN basketball analyst. Monica Key, highly critical of the kind of fanfare Gonzaga gets when they get bounced every year. And meanwhile, I think they're trending in the right direction. They used to be nothing. Then they were something. Now they usually advance in the tournament. Been to a couple Final Fours recently. Where are you on all this?
Wow. Good morning, gentlemen. And Key, we need to document this moment in time in which we agree. Because what are we doing? Like, I still do not understand all the hype around Gonzaga. Their conference does them no favors. And sure, they get to a Final Four. But is that the goal? Like, them getting bounced by Arkansas this year and Baylor last year was the same thing. You run up on teams that play defense and are physical, and you say bye-bye. Like, I'm with Key. Like, y'all thought this was the year Gonzaga was going to break through? Cute. Not really.
Thank you.
Brian Windhorst. Yeah, go ahead.
The smart young lady from Georgetown, one of the greatest Georgetown basketball players in the history of Georgetown, Monica McNutt, ESPN basketball analyst, joining us on Jay Will, Key, and Max. Go ahead, Monica.
Monica, Brian Windhorst was on ESPN NBA, our ESPN NBA insider yesterday, was on First Take talking about Kyrie Irving and the change in the vaccine mandate. Performers, which include professional athletes in New York, no longer are mandated to show their vaccination card in order to play. Here's how he thinks this affects the Nets' fortunes.
They go from being a spoiler in the Eastern playoffs to potentially being the contender. And so this decision is as impactful as anything that's happened in the NBA this year.
What do you think, Monica?
I do agree, but I will say, particularly coming off the Memphis outing in which we had both Kyrie and KD, the Nets, to me as of late, have shown their humanity a little bit. But, I mean, yeah, like if you're going to have Kyrie consistently. But then I also wonder, was part of the explosiveness and the razzle-dazzle of Kyrie a byproduct of this funky Russ calendar that he had the opportunity to enjoy, not by his own decisions? So I agree with Wendy, but I don't know. Don't know if I'm ready to jump to make them as a favorite, which is honestly for me evolved in the last 2 weeks. Because at first I was like, KD, let's go. But I think I am just starting to wonder a little bit about the defensive constitution of those guys in a series. Not that they can't, but will they?
Monica, who are you picking to come out of the East then?
I think the East still goes through the Bucks. And, ooh, Jay, today, I kind of feel like the Bucks still come out. It's close, man. If we get good nets, like, it's hard to vote against those guys, but I'm still going to go with the Bucks for now.
Monica, I think about last year's playoffs. I just haven't moved past it. Like, the Bucks won the title. The Nets were wiping the floor with them with no Harden. And by the way, basically no Joe Harris, right? If they get Seth Curry back and he just shows up, that's better than what they had in Joe Harris last year. Meantime, they didn't have Harden anyway. KD and Kyrie have been balling out of control. Why wouldn't it be the same thing against a team like the Bucks, who turned out to be the best team in the game? They were killing them, Monica, even without Kyrie. KD came a half an inch away from sending him home, game seven. So why wouldn't KD and Kyrie be able to run it back, this time with a little more support and a guy like Seth maybe over Joe Harris and Claxton and these guys? Why not?
So I'm with you, Max, but I think the Bucks are better. Like, the Bucks are better. They're better than they were last year. I think they've learned a lot from that run, obviously. I mean, two guys go on to win gold medals. Giannis continues to improve. I mean, we saw literally from that series to the finals when all of a sudden he's clutch at the free throw line. Like, I think we underappreciate the growth of this team in real time. And maybe it's a small market thing. Maybe we're spoiled by Giannis's greatness and it becomes, yesterday's news in many ways. But I do think the Bucks have gotten better. Now, to your point, a toenail away, still away. And if it comes down to that this year, like, we're certainly in for a fantastic series between the two. But again, the identity of the Bucks on both sides of the ball, to me, is well established. And there are still some question marks. Not about talent, but sort of about mood when it comes to the Brooklyn Nets. But flat out, you asking me KD, Kyrie versus Giannis and pick one of his big three, either Chris or Drew, like, I'm with you. It seems like it should be the Brooklyn Nets. And I think we'll be in for a fantastic series. But I just think in terms of consistency and continuity, which is one of the things that I know I personally was concerned with when Kyrie was allowed to be a part-time player initially, the Bucks check all those boxes, and they're just going to keep their heads down and go about their business with no drama. So it should be fantastic. Right now, and tomorrow I might change my answer, but right now I'm still leaning Bucks, and a lot of that is the Nets getting whooped in Memphis the other day, which I was disappointed to see.
Monica, let's head out west now. trust me, I hadn't been smoking cigarettes. It's just little allergies going on.
You ain't got telling yourself, Key. You should just kept talking, but go ahead.
Because my voice got caught.
The Lakers. Oh, the Lakers.
The Phoenix Suns, they get Chris Paul back now. They got the top seed in the NBA and clinching things. How far can they go now? Can they be a real – can they finally get it done? Can they be real in this?
I think they are. I think it's their year. And I have, been on record taking the Suns out of the West. Now, taking them out of the West and winning the whole thing, we're starting to get a little tricky there. I do think that they're going to come out of the West. I think the matchup in the finals is going to matter a tremendous amount, obviously. If it's the Bucks or the Nets, God, I'm hard-pressed. If it's the Bucks, I think they can figure out a way to get it done. If it's the Nets, I'm not sure that that's going to happen. But I think, again, Phoenix is another squad that you just cannot undersell their growth. Like, yes, they have the best record. They're sitting at the number one seed, and we've all been enamored with the rise of the Memphis Grizzlies. But when you go down that Phoenix roster, it's not just Mikal Bridges, who you could argue should be Defensive Player of the Year. Like, you're talking about Cameron Johnson. You're talking about Cam Payne, who's played valuable minutes. I mean, DeAndre Ayton continues to be consistent and stretch his game. I think the addition of Landry Shamet is where's Landry? Hold on, I'm getting all confused. I just think that that is a group that has been there and done that. And so I've had them coming out the West since the beginning of the season.
Monica McNutt, ESPN basketball analyst. We've touched on the men's tournament. We've been on the NBA. The NCAA women's tournament resumes tonight. What are you most excited for in the Sweet 16, Monica?
So we will be in studio with Elle Duncan and Nikki Vargas, and I want to see if South Carolina can turn a corner in terms of their offense. They've been struggling percentage-wise in this tournament, but they are, to me, the favorite to win it all. We got a Maryland-Stanford matchup coming up, which I'm really excited about. Maryland played Stanford in one of the tournaments earlier this year on an island. Can't remember where they were, but I'm jealous. They only have 7 players available and pretty much got spanked. Now they return their full core of players. They've improved. They figured some things out. Both of these teams like to score the basketball, so it should be high scoring, but what will Maryland's defensive constitution look like versus Stanford? They got, both teams have big guards, and I'm so partial to big guards. Haley Jones and Ashley Owusu for Maryland, Jones for Stanford. I can't wait to see them go to work. And then we got South Dakota and Michigan, and South Dakota's sort of a surprise team. They knocked off the number 2 seed in Baylor. I'm wondering how Naz Hillman, the outstanding center for Michigan, responds to some of South Dakota's defensive schemes, because they ran a bunch of doubles at Melissa Smith for Baylor, and I mean, it works. They beat Baylor. And so I'm curious to see how the Wolverines respond and if those Cinderella ladies can keep on dancing.
Monica McNutt, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Monica. Always good to hear from you.
Hi, Monica.
Have a good week. Thank you.
Meantime, let me tell you something. Jay, you're not the only Duke guard we're going to have on this show today. That's coming up.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. You can call us at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The question we've been asking all day, does Mark Few need to win a national title? Twitter feed, at Key, J, and Max. You can hit us up right now. We welcome to the show Quinn Cook, two-time NBA champion and a 2015 Duke national champion. CJ, you're not the only Duke champ guard on the show today. Hey, Quinn, welcome to the show. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So, Jay is half alive today after last night.
I'm here. I'm fine, man. Get out of here, Max.
After last night's celebration. I don't have visuals on you right now, Jay, but I can only imagine what last night was like. What was your reaction, Quinn, to Duke winning, getting to the Sweet 16?
I was probably the same way Jay was last night. I was myself, DJ Stewart, another Duke guy. We were in the hotel watching, screaming at the TV, screaming at the refs. It was fun. It was fun.
Q, I was trying to tell these guys, you and I standing next to each other watching Duke lose to UNC, and I get it. It was an event. But I think both you and I agreed. I was like, yo, we're not that good. I feel like I'm watching a completely different team the last couple of games. Do you feel the same way?
I feel the same. I mean, me and you talked every possession. And it was just, you know how we are. We're very hard on, you know, our squad. And, you know, obviously they had a nice, you know, two games in the ACC tournament. But, you know, I didn't think that we would get this far, to be honest, just because of our region. You know, since the first game, I mean, they turned it on. And I think the play of Roach has completely changed our team. And obviously, Coach putting him back in the starting lineup, you know, I think it's gave us a nice verve out there. And, you know, it's a completely different team.
Are they national championship good, Q?
I think so. I'm not trying to be biased, but I think we had the most complete team. You know, from top to bottom, I think our top six is better than any top six in the country. And then also, obviously, with Coach, I think he's the best coach, you know, in the world. And then also, you know, we're playing for something different. So, you know, we got a tough Arkansas team tomorrow. But, you know, I like our chances. I like Gonzaga went down. I think we match up better with Arkansas. And I think we got a good shot.
Do you feel like there's a crazy amount of pressure on these young men to try to close the deal out because it's Coach K's farewell tour, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, I know it's going to sound cliche. It's always pressure to play at Duke. But, I mean, they know what's at stake. They know, you know, they don't want Coach's last game to be a loss. And also, you know, they probably feel bad of, you know, they've been getting kicked in the dirt about losing Coach K's last home game in Carolina. Mm. They've been reminded that the last 2 weeks. You know, the alumni have been reminded of that the last 2 weeks. So I know we're praying for a national championship, but those guys understand the pressure. They know, you know, what's at stake, and I think they're you know, just not even tripping about it. And you could tell, you know, being down four at Michigan State late last night, they could have folded, but they made some big plays, and you know, I think they're relishing in it.
Former Duke guard, two-time NBA champion, 2015 NCAA champion. Damn, what a resume. Quinn Cook joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Shoot it, boy.
Quinn, wow. Q, I got to ask you, one of these teams that you won a championship with may not make the playoffs this year in the Los Angeles Lakers. When you watch the Lake Show, what do you see? What is wrong with them, Q?
Man, just, you know, they haven't been healthy, man. I think AD not being there, I mean, you know, he's a guy that's, you know, probably still in his prime. And, you know, he hasn't really been there this season because of some unfortunate injuries. And I think LeBron's playing his tail off. But, no, I don't like their team. I don't really like the roster. I don't like the roster they have around them. And then, obviously, with, you know, Russ struggling a lot this season, just, you know, it's been tough. And LeBron has to take on a lot. But, I don't know, man. It's just funny, man. Obviously, being a Laker, man, the spotlight's been on them all year, and the coaching staff, and, you know, it's another rumor every other day. And they have a younger team. So, you know, you got guys like Reeves playing heavy minutes and Monk playing heavy minutes. It's just tough. So, I still don't like – I don't want to see LeBron in a seven-game series. I don't know how they can get, you know, into the play-in and then into the seventh or eighth spot. I don't even think they can get into the seventh spot. But I still don't want to see LeBron in the seven-game series. I know, you know, Phoenix is the best team in basketball right now, but I still don't want to see, you know, if I was an opposing coach or a player, I still wouldn't want to see LeBron in the seven-game series. So I don't know how it's going to shape up, but LeBron still has that factor to me.
You got one with the Lakers. You got one with the Golden State Warriors. And now you mentioned Phoenix is the top team out west and possibly in the NBA. What about the Warriors, though? Can they put it all together in the playoffs, come back healthy, and get it done?
I think so. And for me, as a basketball fan, I love that they're going through something right now. You know, they haven't been the same Warriors team that we've been accustomed to earlier in the year. They've been losing a little bit. Obviously, with Steph being out now, guys are stepping up. Well, have to step up. You see Jordan Poole going absolutely crazy. I think he kind of, you know, took a step back, obviously, because Klay came back and they had to work Klay back in. But for Jordan Poole to respond the way he's responding, I think he's the X factor that they're going to need when Steph gets back. But, yeah, I mean, they're right there. They're right there. And obviously they have that championship pedigree with Klay, you know, Draymond, Steph, you know, Andre back, Loon. So, man, it's going to be fun. I'm interested to see, you know, how the matchups will play out, you know, the first round. But, you know, I think they'll be right there in the mix for the West, for sure.
Quinn Cook, two-time NBA champion, 2015 Duke national champion with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio this morning. Meantime, it feels like we can get into the fact that the East came up in the world and the West isn't what it used to be. But I'm just even staying in the West, when you talk about the Lakers and the Warriors, two teams that you've played for, you're talking about teams who have to overcome some age now, right? The Lakers with injuries, and same thing with the Warriors, really, even though they're still functioning at a high level. And then you look at teams like Memphis, right? Good, young, deep, great player leading the way. Dallas caught, you know, got hotter as the season went on. Luka got in shape, the whole thing. Is this season sort of a test to see if it's the changing of the guard yet, Quinn, in the Western Conference?
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, you know, you've had your, you know, obviously wherever Bron is, I know he's been in the East, but since he's been West, besides that first year, he's been in the mix. You know, Phoenix kind of established, you know, who they were with Chris Paul last year. But like you said, like Memphis, I don't think, you know, anybody had them, you know, top two, top three team in the West this year. Obviously, taking that next step from them going in the play-in game last year to be top of the West. It's been good to see that whole team develop. Dallas, obviously, you know, I didn't know how they were going to be with that trade with Dinwiddie and getting, you know, Porzingis out of town, but they've responded and they've, you know, they've reeled together some nice wins and some wins that you need, you know, game winners in Boston, game winners in Brooklyn, some playoff environments. They've grown in the last month. Yeah, I mean, it's just, the Clippers still, you know, they're still feisty. You know, Denver, you know, they got MVP and Jokic. I don't know the timetable of Jamal Murray and Porter, but the way they're playing right now, you know, they're tough. So it's definitely a kind of a change, you know, from, you know, just the Warriors being a dominant team. And obviously you've had Kawhi and PG in L.A. Being a dominant team in Brown. But, you know, these young teams are stepping up with these young superstars. It's definitely fun to watch, and it's definitely fun to see everything come together.
Quinn Cook, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, Key, with all the teams, especially like the Lakers that need you, Quinn, what are you doing in the G League, the NBA? The Lakers need you. What's Key? What is going on? This man can shoot the lights out.
I'm not the general manager. Are you a clutch client?
No, I'm not.
Well, there go the problem right there.
I mean, they need the shoot. Hey, it's amazing
hey,
to
hey.
Me.
Hey, Max, yeah. He ain't a clutch client. He can't just play for the Lakers.
It's just amazing to me as a Giants fan when the line stinks, you know, the offensive line. I'm like, wait, there's no one on some practice squad who's at least competent. Come on. When your team can't shoot Max. And Quinn Cook is in the G League, shut up, everybody.
Man, like, Quinn Cook exactly. Understand what exactly. I'm saying, though. Quinn Cook understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course.
That's why he laughing. He get it.
I understand it too, Key. But Quinn, thanks for joining us this morning.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. Love the show. Thank you.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, brother.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
That's right. Put the pep right back in my step with this song. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Key, Dan Orlovsky has an interesting tweet. I want to read it to you. Okay? You ready? Can you hear
yeah.
me? All right, good. Here's Dan Orlovsky's tweet. It's about this upcoming draft class. I don't think people understand how good the top three wide receivers in this class are. Drake London is... Care to guess who he compared Drake London to? Drake, he didn't say he's comparable to, he reminds me of. He said Drake London is Keyshawn Johnson.
What? Yeah, that's a good comparison. Too bad that's not true.
What's the difference? He says he sees double when he looks at you.
Yeah, first of all, Drake London is a lot bigger than me. Drake London probably is about 6'5 and a half, 6'6. Ex-basketball player. His ability is not the same as mine. He's a better 50-50 ball high point guy because of his basketball skills. I played inside, outside. I played every receiver position. He doesn't have the sudden quickness nor the get up and go after the catch. He's very physical like I was, and he should be a very high-end pro. But when you start comparing, I mean, I appreciate the comparison and stuff like that, and I think he's going to be a hell of a pick for the Jets, but it ain't the same. Different levels to this, you know?
Better ball skills.
Not better ball skills, better 50-50
No, I'm saying who had better ball skills?
Come on, man, stop this.
Well, I mean, he's still a very young player. You can't compare him to
you
at your best.
It don't even matter. I'm talking about I'm only comparing college. I ain't even comparing the pros. Because if you try to compare Drake London and me in the pros, that's a lot, man. And I played with about 14 different quarterbacks. So imagine 3 Pro Bowls, Super Bowls, should have been to more, 14 different quarterbacks. So it's different.
Up with the Jets and he calls you and he's like, yo, Key, I want number 19, man.
Oh, he can have it. I don't care. I'm not like Jay. I'm not selfish. I'm going to let people wear the numbers.
Yeah. What did he wear at SC?
He wore 15 at USC. 15.
I think you got to explain, Key, why you just threw shade at Jay. Remember, Jay told on the show that Jason Tatum called him up. Jay wasn't ready to get rid of the number, but Jason Tatum wanted to wear 22 at Duke. But
Jay's number is in the rafters. The point of that is supposed to be you're supposed to leave that alone after that.
No, we take numbers down. What you think? Three is just anybody can wear 3 at USC? No, three at USC was worn by me, Carson Palmer, Curtis Conway. We made it famous. Now it's in the Raptors, but at the same time, at the Raptors,
we're back.
At the same time, somebody can wear it if they want to.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
You voted on Twitter what we should talk about, okay? Now, the Drake London comparison to Key was one topic. 13.5% said they want us to do that, right? Okay, Key?
Mm-hmm.
22.6 said NBA's most dangerous duo. Jay's airport nap, 29.9%. And then, right before we were going to throw these topics up, Evan, our producer, was like, you know what? I'm going to throw World Cup qualifying in there just to do it. I ain't going to win, but I'll just throw it in there. Guess what won? 34% of the vote. World Cup qualifying. So football is king one way or another.
Huge upset in World Cup qualifying, guys. Italy, the reigning, I should say, European champions last summer. They won the Euros. It was, you know, delayed a year, beat England in the final. They got knocked out by North Macedonia. So this is two straight World Cups that Italy is not going to be in the World Cup. And in between, they won the European championships. Crazy
Key.
That Italy is not going to be there.
Hey, Key, I understand each individual word that Evan just said. Like, I speak English. I get it. But when you put them all together, I can't make heads or tails. Did you understand that?
Yeah, they lost.
Italy lost.
In the 95th minute.
In the 95th minute. Yeah.
That's like at the last second.
Yep.
Right.
You didn't know that, Max?
Is it pronounced with a soft C or a hard C? Is it soccer, soccer? Soccer, soccer.
Oh, there you go.
Got it.
And then stateside, we got to get to this. The U.S. was in Mexico City. U.S. has never won a World Cup qualifier. in Mexico City at the Azteca, it's called. Mm-hmm. They came away with a 0-0 draw. The U.S. in very good shape going into their next two, their last two qualifying games.
That's good.
To qualify for the World Cup in Qatar at the end of the year.
That's good.
How many points do they have?
That's a great question. I don't have the as it's called, the table in front of me. But they're in very good shape. They're in second place on the table. Canada's in first. U.S. in second. Mexico in third.
I mean, the fact
and
that
the top three automatically qualify for the World Cup. The fourth goes and plays in a playoff against somebody from Oceania, from that region, most likely New Zealand.
I wonder if we can buy somebody and put them on our team. That would be great. You know how they buy everybody over there. They switching teams. They pay off their contracts, bring
that's
them over
in,
there.
Key, that's in the club game. This is
yeah, I know. Maybe we should just
– you can't really buy national team because you got to be born or have – residency in the citizenship for the country.
Well, we can fake it. We do it for Max.
Can we? Speaking of that, can we talk about
what that shade means? Like, what?
I don't know. I don't even. I'm not sure. There's a vague insult in there somewhere.
No, it's not an insult. Why do you? Why is it every time I say something, it's a shade or an insult?
We know when you get because you get really? That little look on, little mischievous look on your face. Everyone knows what that means. Can we talk about American football now, please? Is that possible? Evan, just
yes.
Give me something. I'm like, I'm drowning here. You got to throw me a lifeline. Tyreek Hill, just say
for the standings. I'm trying to find it.
Say an here NFL name. Just say an NFL name.
The quarterback, Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes, who survives without their top receiver?
Quarterback. Oh, that feels so much better now. Now I'm on familiar territory. I feel the earth under my feet.
Does Aaron Rodgers get back to the NFC Championship game without his top receiver? Patrick Mahomes gets back to the AFC Championship game without his top receiver?
Oh, now I've come out of it. Excellent.
Erling Haaland transfer. Oh, we're not doing that. Okay.
Marquez, how do you say his
name? Valdez Scantling.
Yeah, all that. MVS, better yet.
Yes.
Does he boost up the receiving corps for the Kansas City Chiefs? They took Aaron Rodgers' best target left in Green Bay is now in Kansas City.
Oh,
how does that do?
Now we're home again. Very good. Okay,
should Aaron Rodgers go and sign Julio Jones, OBJ, and Landry and draft two guys in college in this year's draft?
Yeah, now we're talking. Hey, Valdez-Scantling, what's the real point of that, Key? Is that so that they don't have to draft for need, right? Because they have picks. They could just draft a speed guy, but they signed a guy. Is that because he's a proven commodity? We know he can do it?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
A proven commodity. We know he can do it. Familiarity with the system. The systems are very similar. Like, if one is 100, the other is 85. And it's very close, a vertical stretch game for him with the Green Bay Packers. He replaces Tyreek Hill in the vertical stretch game with Patrick Mahomes. The off-schedule plays won't be nearly as much as they were with Tyreek Hill, but it still gives them that deep threat that they had with Tyreek Hill. So they fill a void that they thought that they needed to when they lost Tyreek Hill and they signed him.
You think
that was in their back pocket the entire time?
You think you can replace Tyreek with just a deep threat, or do they also need to add something at receiver in the draft?
Well, they did already add Juju Smith. Juju Smith will be the underneath guy. Yep. Mecole Hardman is there. Kelsey's there. Then you got that vertical guy, and then they'll probably go draft somebody as well.
I hear what
you're saying. Probably not done.
Valdez-Scantling does have special qualities as a deep threat.
He's averaging almost 18 yards a catch.
Yeah. He has special qualities as a deep threat. It's just that in the NFL, when you have one guy who can do multiple things at a high level, it's a little different. So, like Juju Smith-Schuster, I hear you. Nice receiver. He can do some things. Scantling can certainly do some things that can replace some of what Tyreek Hill did. But to me, it's like I look at that receiving core and I'm thinking – who scares you? You know, the tight end scares you a little bit. Who else scares
you?
Man,
all them dudes, when they fast, they scare you, Max. Don't let nobody tell you and sit there and sell you a bag of goods.
Just let MVS run down the field, and then you let other guys operate.
Man, the last thing one of them DBs want to have that dude do is get on their toes. When he step on their toes, he's leaving.
Hey, Dennis in Delaware wants to talk about Mark Few. You got 1 minute, Dennis.
Mark Few, it might be time for him to take a little break from Gonzaga. You know, he had the DWI arrest back in September, and he seemed a little out of it this year. I would like to see him take a step back. I know he built up the program, but, you know, I think that definitely had an effect on the team. I mean, he was twice the legal limit, driving recklessly. He only got 3-game suspension. It probably wasn't the first time he was drinking and driving. So that's just my opinion.
Well, that's speculation if he'd done it in the past, but it's certainly never a good idea to do that.
No, not at all. I don't mean to. I had a cough, but I'm just like, geez, that had anything to do with the guy coaching in the Sweet 16.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm higher on Mark Few than a lot of people are. Like, he built that up into something. Jeez. And then in recent years, they've been making real credible title threats, like getting to the Final Four a couple times in the last 4 tournaments.
Hey,
you know, look.
Max.
Yeah.
Does threats scare you?
I don't know. You just told me Valdez-Scantling scares you. You
well,
just got
you.
Done telling me. He's
nope,
the Marquez Valdez-Scantling of the NCAA. Even. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.